All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We got up until 2 o'clock. We'll talk with Les Norman coming up at noon. We got Todd Lebo joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. Right now, let's talk some Chiefs football. Adam Teicher from ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks. Step up your lunch game at Twin Peaks. Enjoy light yet hearty combos put together for you, available at an awesome price, featuring savory soups, crisp salads, and a variety of sandwiches to satisfy your every craving. Enjoy your next lunch break with Twin Peaks. Adam Teicher from ESPN joining us. Adam, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
Good, Jason. How are you doing today?
I am doing just fine. Let's talk about and start off with Andy Reid, the comments yesterday. Andy Reid, Nick Bolton, Patrick Mahomes, they all talked yesterday in their Zoom press conference of starting phase one. Phase one, Adam. How pumped are you for phase one?
Phase one, it's better than phase zero. You know, let's get playing football. It's these two month off seasons are really too long. So let's get football going here. And
it's been all of 8 hours since the Chiefs have done something. Let's get back to it, NFL. Come on, it's about time. It's about time you guys control the day of the calendar.
They just give up once the Super Bowl's over, don't they?
Right. Andy Reid yesterday, one of the more anticipated comments and what would be questions and follow-ups, regardless of what Andy Reid said at the beginning of, hey, not going to answer questions about Rashee Rice, and there's going to be follow-ups and different questions about that. But what did you make of Andy Reid's comments, even, you know, a little bit lack thereof, but on the Rashee Rice questions yesterday?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's probably no reason he can't be participating in the virtual meetings right now. But when they move back to Kansas City, you know, what's the situation going to be then? Is he going to be able to participate? Do they want him to participate? The courts in Texas going to allow him to leave Dallas to work? I don't see why they wouldn't, but, you know, maybe that's something may be hung up about. So, you know, it's there's still some things we don't know. I mean, he's participating for now, but is that going to continue? And, you know, we're going to be asking these questions, I think, for a while. There's probably going to be some times where he's here, but then he has to leave. And, you know, it's probably going to be one of those kind of deals.
So I didn't go to lawyer school. And I don't pretend to play one on the radio, and I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I do wonder what would change legally, because he gave essentially a no comment on participation for phase two. Like, would he be here, as you're talking about? Like, would he be in attendance here in Kansas City in phase two? And he's like, well, we'll just see how the legal process goes. Acknowledging, I have no idea when it comes to the legality between now and then. But I don't know what would change legally between now and then for him to not be allowed to participate in a work function in Kansas City. If you know, he can't leave the city, can't leave the state, I don't know if that would be the case. If he can't do that, that would certainly make sense. But if he can do that, then there would be no reason for him to not be there for phase two.
Yeah, I don't really understand what could possibly, you know, happen between now and then that could interfere with that one way or the other. But, you know, I think it's more of a case that Andy Reid just didn't want to commit to something, just didn't want to make public something, just in case something did come up. So, you know, my sense is that he might be here at times, but it probably won't be a consistent participation.
Visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN, Rashee Rice was not there and is not there working out with Patrick Mahomes. He didn't say specifically that Rashee Rice is not here, but when asked, is Rashee Rice working out with you right now, he said, well, you know, I've worked with Rashee Rice in the past, and, you know, depending on the legal situation, look forward to working with him, you know, in the future and everything. So it's like, you know, not right now. And he mentioned Hollywood being there and Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney and Nico and Reece Zomit, the different people that were there. Again, the legality of it, I'm not sure what would prohibit Rashee Rice from still doing the things that he would have done if this didn't happen. Like, I'm going to guess, Adam, that without this incident that took place, that he would be one of the players that would be there working out, since he was doing it with Patrick Mahomes before. What would prohibit him from working out right now? That was really surprising to me to know that Rashee Rice isn't there doing some of those things because of what's going on behind the scenes legally that he's having to deal with, that really his, you know, lawyer is really dealing with.
Yeah, no, I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night either, so I'm not sure about that myself. But you know, hey, you know, I feel like it's probably not a good look for him to be participating with pictures on social media and that kind of thing, for him to be participating in these things right now. You know, there was a lawsuit filed the other day by a couple of the people who claim to be victims down in Texas, and I'm sure there's going to be more of that. So I think the lower profile he keeps right now, probably the better. So, you know, I think that is one thing that maybe could prevent him from being more of a participant than he otherwise would down there or back up here for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that. You know, I mean, we talked about Mecole Hardman not being there, and it was a big deal that he can't be on Pat Ass all day and not, you know, going to workouts and things like that with Mecole. And it's like, you know, if this didn't happen, we know Rashee Rice would be there. And so, therefore, now it's affecting some of the on-field stuff outside of what would be a suspension, too. So, I don't know, just sort of builds and compounds to a degree with that.
Well, it's a messed up situation. There's no... you know, I don't know what the right thing for him to do is at this time. I'm not going to be giving him that kind of advice. But if I'm a victim, I might feel a little weird seeing pictures of him going on with his life when mine has been messed up, you know. So, and maybe that's what he's thinking. Yeah. I don't know, because I haven't talked to him.
Yeah. As you mentioned, the lawsuit is about $11 million that he's being sued for by a couple of victims in in the accident that took place. Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. One of the things that we've talked about and discussed a couple of times, and Andy Reid was asked about it yesterday, about draft plans and with Rashee Rice, and do those change? And obviously, as he typically says, you know, Veach handles all of those things, and, you know, he's got all that covered, and et cetera, et cetera. One of the parts of this that I think does matter in terms of draft plans is, even if you feel like, okay, Rashee Rice is going to be there, you don't want to make a four-year decision on four games. He's going to be suspended for four games, so we don't now want to make a panic move and draft somebody we wouldn't otherwise have drafted because we think Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. But from the view of Rashee Rice as a Chief, you know, a couple of months ago to now, there is an element of the trust that has been lost to a degree. And if this could happen, then you do have to make plans on if something else were to happen. Hollywood Brown is there for a year. You've got an aging Travis Kelce. I know that they were already looking at wide receiver. I just don't know how much now it adds a percentage of importance to that with Rashee Rice. Because even if you're saying a four-game, don't make a four-year decision, you're also knowing this is somebody that made a decision on his own and a choice that wasn't very smart. And do you think that is definitely 100% past him, or do you have to feel like, okay, here's a check in the wrong column, a couple checks away from us having to move on?
Yeah, I think, you know, there is some truth in what you say. You don't want to overreact to this. And yet, I think that's a mistake to just assume it's only going to be four games. I mean, it could be. I mean, that may be, well, what comes out of this. But, and it's hard to know. You look at past sentences for that the NFL has handed out, suspensions and for various things, and say, okay, this guy got this, that means Rashee Rice is going to get this. The NFL doesn't seem to have any consistency with these kinds of things. So, and the fact that there's video out there of this, and you can really see what happened, that's a bad look for the NFL. They can't be looking kindly on this. And I'd be surprised if it's only four games. And, okay, so what if it's six or even eight? Does that change the picture? I don't know. But, you know, it's true that now maybe, you know, you don't know what you have in Rashee Rice and how much you can trust him going forward. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Hollywood Brown one-year contract, meaning he could be a one-year rental type guy for the Chiefs. They've got to do something about this longer term. This is a good year to be finding receivers. So, yes, I think they would have anyway. But I do think this ramps it up to what percent it ramps up the need. To what percent, that's hard, a hard judgment to make. But it's certainly bumps up the level of need to me does bump up a notch or two or three or whatever you might want to say because of what happened here.
But Adam, if four games allows us to say something cool like a 4-year decision on 4-game suspension. So
okay,
you can't say 4-year decision. It's a cooler thing to say with the 4 and the 4, Adam.
Okay, well, maybe it's an 8-year career with the Chiefs in 8 games. How about that?
Maybe, but the draft is a 4-year contract typically, so there that's what go. Makes it just such a connection there. Just an
there
easy tie-in, Adam.
All right.
Adam Teicher is our guest right here on
maybe
Sports.
Maybe that's what the league will look at. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? You get one game for every year your contract is.
Year of their contract.
So
there you go.
You got 4-game suspension. Adam Teicher is our guest from ESPN. What do you think the benefit is for the Chiefs with Mahomes running practices and these sessions instead of having the guys there at the facility, being able to see him, being around, maybe getting, I don't know, a little more into the football side of it? This is not a loaded question. I like that Mahomes does this. I'm just curious, you know, you being around him, the benefit that they see with Patrick Mahomes being the guy that's running these sessions.
Yeah, well, you know, he's the perfect guy to run these because whatever he says on those practice fields, you know, that's the it's like a coach, you know, it's like Andy Reid talking, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's gonna, whatever he says is gonna happen. You know, and he talked a little bit, I was curious what benefit he got out of doing it this way. And, you know, he talked about, you know, he can really spend more time with the receivers talking, and you know, there's not a coach kind of, I don't want to say interfering, but it just can be one-on-one. Hey, what did you see here? What did I see here? And they can work some things out, maybe without a third party being there. So I thought his answer to that was kind of interesting, that of what he gets out of it. And then there's the off-the-field stuff. You know, he gets to know the new guys, like Anthony Miller and Hollywood Brown and, Reese Samet. He gets to meet all these guys and start his relationship with them that he otherwise might not get to do, at least to this extent, when things are in Kansas City. So, this is a pretty nice move on Andy Reid's part. I don't know that the Chiefs would do it if they weren't going so deep into the playoffs every year, but it's just a way to get some guys a little bit more of a break than they otherwise would. Then they'll be back here in 2 or 3 weeks. They'll be back in Kansas City, and the thing will move into another gear then. But for now, I think it's a pretty good idea, and I'm curious why more teams don't do this kind of thing. And maybe it's because they don't have a Patrick Mahomes to sort of, shoulder this and sort of be their guy. I mean, I have no doubt that, you know, certain other players like, Joe Burrow, for instance, and guys like that can command this, can pull this off easily, but maybe not every team can do this.
And I think a credit to Patrick Mahomes is that, you know, it's not just that they did it once. This is what, year three? Of them doing it this way, where Patrick Mahomes is running phase one of the skill position players and going through some of those things and routes before they even get on the Zoom and talk about some of those same things. So, you know, you have a couple of different times in a day where you're sort of driving those things home and drive that information home. But what Andy Reid said yesterday, which, I think speaks volumes about Patrick Mahomes, is when he says, you know, we allow them to do this, but these guys come back and they're in shape and they know what they're doing. They know what's expected of them. They understand where they're supposed to be. Some of those things that, you know, you get from phase one in the install. And Mahomes talking about, you know, he's going back and they're going through defensive fronts, which he finds tedious, and the coaches make fun of him because he gets annoyed by it. But it's elementary school. You got to go back to elementary school and do your 1+1, start over every single year. But the credit to Patrick Mahomes is the fact that, okay, we'll allow you to do it. Okay, cool, that worked. We'll allow you to do it again. And we'll allow you to do it again because he's handling business down there. It's not just a bunch of guys hanging out playing grab ass and an opportunity to not have to travel to Kansas City.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that, I don't want to overrate this, what's going on down there. I mean, would the Chiefs win a Super Bowl without it? Yeah, I think they probably would. But, I it's better than nothing. And, I don't think everybody has to be there all the time. I think that part of it maybe can be overrated, you know, worrying about who's there and who's not there. But I do think that this is better than certainly better than the alternative. And I, it's one of those things I think sort of came out of COVID. You know, I think they tried to organize some things, you know, when they couldn't come here, when they weren't allowed mm-hmm. to gather that one year. And I feel like it went so well that they decided, hey, we can make this work and kind of give ourselves a little bit of a break once spring comes around. So I do think it is a pretty good thing.
Visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Hollywood Brown also down there in Dallas working out with Patrick Mahomes. He talked about it. I found it interesting, both Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes talking about the things that Hollywood Brown brings to the table. Andy Reid, one of the first things he said is, you know, this guy's not just a deep threat. Like, yes, he can do that, but he's, you know, essentially he's not MVS. We're not going to use him as somebody that's going to run deep. Okay. He's not just here to run deep patterns. He's here to move all over the field, run different routes. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes when he was asked, you know, what are you learning about Hollywood? And he said, route running, like how crisp he is in and out of his breaks. I thought that was interesting to hear both of them, because we hear Hollywood Brown. It's like, okay, they got somebody. You can take the top off the defense. He's got the speed. And you got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes going, no, he can do that, but that's not how he's going to be used this year. He's going to be used as a wide receiver, not just, hey, run deep, Hollywood.
Yeah, no, it is interesting, but it's also interesting you brought up MVS, because go back to what Andy Reid and some of the coaches were saying about MVS when he first got here. I mean,
that's a good point.
They were talking a lot about, well, you know, he was just kind of a deep threat in Green Bay, but we're going to do different things with him. He's not just going to do that here, you know, and that never really, as we know, never really developed. So take the optimism a little bit. I mean, it's interesting what they're saying, and I think I put more weight in it maybe when Mahomes says it, believe it or not, than when Andy Reid says it, but I'm throwing up a little bit of caution here, and just be careful in thinking that this guy is going to be just a totally different player than he was in Arizona or in Baltimore, because certainly that was the idea with MVS, mm-hmm. and it never worked out there.
Yeah. It's a great point. Like, well, no, now he's got so many more skills and ability to run these different routes. We're talking about MVS. He can do all these different things. They just didn't use him that way in Green Bay. Then he gets here, and we see, you know, maybe they used him. Maybe Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur had an idea of what a wide receiver looks like too, and how that guy can be deployed. It's like, no, those guys are idiots. Whereas I think there's an element of, you know, you can talk about the Ravens offense at the time when he was there, Greg Roman, and then with the Cardinals, with the different quarterbacks he's had, where it's like, okay, well, no, Hollywood can do a lot of different things that he wasn't really able to showcase because of maybe the offense, but also I think maybe more than that, the quarterbacks he was playing with. MVS was playing with Aaron Rodgers and wasn't putting up the numbers where Hollywood was playing with. Man, we went through the who's who of quarterbacks that he was playing with, and they are some names that Hollywood had in his time. But it is a good point of hearing some of the same commentary around MVS of not just a deep threat. He's got all these different dimensions to his game.
Yeah, well, you know, do I think the Chiefs, between their coaching and their quarterbacking, can expand Hollywood Brown's game? Yeah, I do think they can. You know, will they? You know, will this materialize? I think so, but I'm not as sold on that. You know, I really was interested when they were talking about that a couple of years ago with MVS, and thinking, wow, this is going to be interesting to see how this develops. And, you know, of course, it never did develop. So we'll see with him. But I do think it is possible, yeah.
Visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN, our guest here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kadarius Toney talked about by Patrick Mahomes yesterday that, you know, he's down there and helping teach some of the guys. And my immediate response is, no, don't help him teach some of the guys. But whatever. That's the tongue-in-cheek commentary there. But will both, if you're guessing right now, knowing what the wide receiver room looks like right now, and also the fact that the draft is coming up and there are some veterans available, do you think Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore are both on this team opening day against what I'm continuing to guess, the Texans, on that Thursday night? Or is it one or the other? They're sort of battling it out for one spot.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes right now, because they're the leaders in the clubhouse for those extra roster spots, right? you know, they don't really have anybody obvious other than, you know, Hollywood Brown would be above them on the depth chart, and Rashee Rice if he's around, and maybe Justin Watson as well. And then otherwise, what you know, who's going to take their spots right now? So, yeah, I would say they are. I have not gotten any sense over the course of this off season that the Chiefs are ready to give up on them. And you know what? I know this is not a popular take necessarily in Kansas City, but I applaud them for that. The last thing you want to do is get rid of a guy too early, you know, and I don't know if it's too early for either of these guys, you know, but they're still young and theoretically still could develop into productive players. I don't see what the harm is in at least bringing them to training camp and making them earn a spot for sure. Not giving it to them like maybe last year, but making them earn it. And, you know, and you can cut them then if you don't want them. So I like what the Chiefs have done with both those guys in terms of keeping them around and trying to work with them and trying to get some production out of them. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you just don't want to give up a talented player too early. And I don't know what the ceiling is for either one of those guys. You know, maybe we saw it with Kadarius Toney the year he got to the Chiefs, you know, that second half of the season. Maybe that's as good as it's going to get with him. You know, a little help as a punt returner, a little help as a gadget guy, but it's not going to be huge stuff. But maybe that is the ceiling. But I do think it'd be a mistake for them to give up on those guys right now.
We'll take a timeout, come back. We'll continue talking with Adam Teicher. Look ahead a little bit to the draft coming up in 9 days. He's presented by Twin Peaks. He's from ESPN, Chiefs Insider, More Zone right after this. Hanging out with Adam Teicher from ESPN. He's presented by Twin Peaks, talking some Chiefs football. I do want to pass along some sad news, and that is Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer, Royals Hall of Famer, Whitey Herzog has died today at the age of 92. So sad news there for Whitey Herzog, a man who got the Royals' glory days and glory years underway with that 1976 team that lost in 5 games to those damned Yankees, and the 77 team that lost in 5 games to those damned Yankees, the 78 team that lost in 4 games to those damned Yankees. But Whitey Herzog passing away, great career, and certainly what seemed like a great life at the age of 92. But St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer, his number 24, retired in St. Louis. I believe that was one of those things that they talked about when they retired it. Rick Ankiel, the last one to wear number 24 for the Cardinals. There's a little trivia for you, everybody, when you head to the bar tonight. And Royals Hall of Famer as well, Whitey Herzog. Let's bring in Adam Teicher. We continue talking. We'll talk a little bit more about Whitey Herzog with Les Norman coming up at noon. But we bring in Adam Teicher here. Adam, I wanted to talk about, you know, the draft comes up in 9 days, and it isn't necessarily a, you know, who they're going to take, who do you like, et cetera. But, you know, I've been counting on them, you know, whether it's drafting a running back, maybe signing another one, I don't know. But I do think drafting a running back or bringing somebody in as a priority free agent is certainly in the cards for this Chiefs team. And I wonder, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, do you view him as somebody that they brought back? They love who he is as a teammate and in the locker room. He knows the system, knows the offense, been around, the familiarity with the offense, the familiarity with them to him. Is he a guy that they re-sign and he's on this roster, or they sign him as sort of a placeholder for them to find somebody better, and if they don't, well, then we know that we have a bird in the hand in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we know at least about his game and how to coach to his game.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on the running back. I think it'll be a big surprise if the Chiefs do not draft a running back. You know, maybe not on the first day or even the second day, but they'll bring a running back in. I don't think there's any doubt about that, because that their depth chart isn't full. Now, beyond that is an interesting question. I mean, I can't imagine the Chiefs turning down a J.K. Dobbins or somebody like that if he came back to them and said, hey, I'll take your price. I can't imagine, because the Chiefs have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they would turn down a deal like that, somebody they felt like maybe was an upgrade. So To answer your question, that's an interesting question. I've kind of wondered that myself. I mean, and I'll just answer it for now like this. I think for now he's the leader in the clubhouse, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you know, he's second behind Pacheco on the depth chart for now. But beyond that, I don't know that there's going to be any guarantees. I think there'll be somebody else in here to challenge him at least for that second spot. And then will there be somebody else here maybe to take his job? I can't imagine the Chiefs would spend big on that at this point, but could they do that? Yeah, I do still think that's possible. I talked about it with Seren yesterday. Of all the guys the Chiefs have re-signed since the end of last season, all the players they've re-signed, he was asking me who they thought might be, who might not make the team. And his pick was Derek Nnadi, and my pick in that category is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think he'll make it, but if you're asking me who's my favorite in that category, it would be Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's an interesting phrasing of the question, too, because those are two of the names that probably would come up, because if the Chiefs look defensive tackle, they've brought Nnadi back on 3 1-year deals. But, you know, when they re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I was fine with it, you know, based on, okay, who's out there, what the price is, and if J.K. Dobbins is not interested in the Chiefs, but obviously he hasn't signed with anybody yet. And it may have been a, hey, Clyde, we're talking with J.K. Dobbins. Do you want to take this contract or not? You know, oh, okay, you do want to take the contract. Great. Welcome back. But still have, you know, on speed dial, maybe mutually, J.K. Dobbins, and if they draft somebody, because if they sign Dobbins and draft somebody, then Edwards-Helaire would be the odd man out. I can't see them then cutting Dobbins unless there's an injury, or cutting a guy that they draft, because there's reasons that they would draft that guy and covet him. We saw what happened with Pacheco in the seventh round and what he turned out to be. And they had some high praise for Denarik Prince, but he wasn't a draft pick. He was an undrafted free agent. And it's like, okay, he's got these traits. We'll see if those are translatable. Pacheco's were. Denarik Prince, they didn't really get out of him what they were hoping to get out of him. And maybe a year off season they do, and Edwards-Helaire slides back to be the odd man out because Prince has taken a huge step forward and they drafted somebody or Dobbins is in. I think it's a nice fallback option, fallback plan to where Brett Veach typically goes into a draft saying, we don't have to have this position. We don't have a gaping hole at this position to where if we don't draft somebody, we are screwed. To where, okay, they won a Super Bowl with Pacheco and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and McKinnon in the Super Bowl, but McKinnon missed the last part of the season in the playoffs. But hey, we won a Super Bowl with Pacheco and Edwards-Helaire, and if that's the worst our running back room looks like, okay, we can get by with that. But if it's Isaiah Pacheco and Denarik Prince or LaMichael Perine, well, maybe that's less than ideal.
Well, I'll take it a step further. I'm okay, like as you said earlier, I'm okay with this move, with them bringing Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. But only with the understanding that there's more work to do here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't be done at this point. They whether it's a draft pick, a veteran, or even both, they've got more work to do at running back, and I know that they feel that way. I mean, it doesn't mean necessarily they're going to get it done. I mean, if they can't find anybody they like at the times when they pick or can't move up to get a guy, then they may strike out. But to me, that's where the signing of Edwards-Helaire, it lessens the desperation, if you will. They don't have to do something they don't want to do now that they have Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. But there's more work to be done, and they know that.
Adam Teich is our guest from ESPN, visiting with him about the Chiefs. The draft comes up in 9 days. We know in the first round they will not take a quarterback, and they won't take a running back. I'm pretty positive about that. I will also throw in linebacker, that they won't take an off-ball linebacker there in the first round. Other than that, Adam, and I've eliminated three positions, so maybe that makes it a little bit easier, but outside of those three positions, is there a positional group that if the Chiefs drafted, you'd be like, wow, I cannot believe they went that route with whatever particular player it is? Is there a position that you would just be, shocked, surprised that they went that route in the first round at pick number 32?
No, there wouldn't. Safety might be, I don't think they'll draft position a safety in the first round, that they'll draft that position just because they've invested between Justin Reed and Brian Cook a couple of years ago, and then Shamari Connor last year. Mm-hmm. I think they've invested in that spot adequately. So that one maybe would surprise me a little bit. But other than that, no, I don't think so. I think, you know me, I'm more in the market for good players than positions. I'm more interested in getting good players in here. So that would not surprise me. I could see an interior offensive lineman mm-hmm. with an eye toward next season, you know, maybe losing both Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and also Joe Tooney with the expensive contract. So I could see that. I could see offensive tackle. I could see tight end mm-hmm. even with that last pick in the first round. I could see defensive line. I could see corner. So, I do think this thing could go a lot of different directions. I mean, if you're talking about needs, it's going to be, wide receiver and offensive tackle, right? Yeah. But doesn't necessarily mean that's where they're going to go with that first pick.
Well, it's interesting you went safety because that became the conversation sort of yesterday was about the safety. It was like, well, they're not it'd be a real shock if they took a safety. And the devil's advocate that I played on that was, well, you know, Justin Reed, this is his last year of his contract, and they drafted ahead of Juan Thornhill's last year of his contract, and maybe that's what they were doing with Shamari Connor, but I think there's a chance Shamari Connor was drafted ahead of L'Jarius Sneed's last year of his contract and them trading him. And so if they went safety, would it be that much of a surprise? I guess because we're looking at a number of different positions that the Chiefs would go. But if we look at what they've done in the past, and maybe they look at second or third round, but if we look at what they've done in the past, they've typically at that spot have tried to be a year ahead of losing somebody. And if they look at Shamari Connor as a guy that can maybe fill the L'Jarius Sneed or the slot position role if McDuffie moves outside without Sneed, that guy that can play a number of different positions, and you're losing Justin Reed, and you replace him with a guy at number 32 that's a safety or the best safety on the board or something like that, that you feel like you can move around in different spots, that wouldn't be that big of a surprise because of historically what they've done at that spot in trying to be a year ahead of losing somebody.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be a surprise in terms of like a quarterback would be or running back would be. I mean, no doubt it wouldn't be that level of surprise. But I just feel like they don't need to do that unless it's just a guy they love. I mean, if it's mm-hmm. a guy they feel like can be a real difference maker, by all means, go ahead and do that. Anywhere really, but I'd even say that about a running back. If they felt like it was a guy who was going to be a real difference maker, go ahead and take him. You know, if he's a guy they have maybe rated as a first-round pick, you know, they only have generally, 18 to 20 of those in the first round, and they're picking 32nd, so there's not always one of their guys still available when they pick at the end of the round. So if there's a first-round safety, the guy they have rated as a first-round safety and still available at 32, I think there's a lot worse things they can do with that pick, like forcing a need at offensive tackle, for instance, or forcing a need a wide receiver, or doing a lot of different things. I'm more about the good players. So I don't think that would be a bad strategy as long as they don't feel like they're reaching for the guy.
Absolutely. And we know Spags likes to use guys that are multidimensional. We can use them here. We can put them there. We can put them in different spots. He can play, deep. He can play single high, two deep. We can bring this guy down in the box. It's what he loved about L'Jarius Sneed early on. It's what he likes about Shamari Connor. And I think this is the last year for Justin Reed. So maybe Shamari Connor goes and fills that role and you've got Cook and Connor as your safeties. We'll see. They've got to figure something out with that. And they're pretty good of working ahead at a number of different positions. And we'll see if they didn't necessarily do that at the wide receiver spot. I think they may have tried with Sky Moore, but it didn't work out that particular way. So maybe they'll find a place for him if they've got Hollywood and Rashee Rice and he plays an ancillary role. We'll find out. Last one, quick one for you. We're 9 days away. If you're guessing right now, and we'll get more sort of into the commentary about the draft next week and more of a focus specifically to that. But if you're guessing right now, and the number of draft picks, certainly matters in this, Brett Veach more likely to trade up or trade back? We know what his history and his aggressiveness is, but, he traded up for McDuffie, but he had a lot of picks that year. So if we're looking at Thursday night, more likely to, if they're moving from 32, are they moving higher or are they sliding back into the second round?
I'll never tell you it's more likely that Brett Veach will trade back. I'll never say that. It's hard for him to sit there and watch that draft unfold and for, you know, whatever, 3-4 hours and the Chiefs don't have a pick. That's hard for him, man. He goes crazy during that time. So if you're asking me, is it going to be a trade up or trade back, I'd say a trade up. But I'm not sure that that's the right thing to do. You know, if they can get a good second round pick by moving back a few spots, maybe that's not a bad thing for them to do this year.
Adam Teicher from ESPN is our guest. Adam, you're the man. Appreciate it. Next week, we will certainly have a more specific eye towards the draft and what may be taking place. Appreciate the time as always, brother. We'll talk next week.
Good stuff, Jason. Talk to you then.
Absolutely. There's Adam Teicher from ESPN. He is presented by Twin Peaks. You can step up your lunch game at Twin Peaks. Enjoy light yet hearty combos put together for you, available at an awesome price, featuring savory soups, crisp salads, and a variety of sandwiches to satisfy your every craving. Enjoy your next lunch break with Twin Peaks. We'll take a timeout, come back. We'll continue more Zone right after this. All right, hanging out here on this Tuesday edition of The Zone. Jason Anderson, Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. Thank you to Adam Teicher from ESPN. Presented by Twin Peaks. Talking some Chiefs football. The Chiefs talked yesterday. Their phase one opening up. It was Andy Reid. It was Patrick Mahomes. And it was Nick Bolton. You know, I started off the conversation with Adam Teicher the first hour here. Talking about Rashee Rice and Andy Reid weighing in on Rashee Rice. Let's play this clip. The question is included. It's clip number one, Mahomes, and working with Rashee Rice. The question is included about what is currently happening with phase one and if Rashee Rice is down there and attending.
Coach Reid said the organization is dealing with the Rashee thing. He did confirm he's been on the Zooms. Are you throwing with him? And if not yet, do you plan to throw with him at some point in this phase?
Yeah, I've worked with Rashee throughout the offseason just in general. I'm sure we'll continue that work as the legal process plays out.
So when I heard that yesterday and, you know, thinking about that, you know, Adam Teicher talked me down a little bit in saying, you know, it might be by the advice of counsel not to be in the public setting or a public eye and be out there doing those things. I think you can get around that by just saying, hey, don't post anything on Instagram with me, but I still want to work out. I still want to be here because Patrick Mahomes, in the different clips yesterday and his answers, mentioned Hollywood Brown, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Nico Remigio, Rhys Zahmunt, Anthony Miller, all being there working out, and not Rashee Rice. And I don't know what the reasons might be. He ain't on house arrest. All right, it's in Dallas where he's at anyway. We know that. I'm sure somebody would give him a ride if he doesn't want to be driving right now, would give him a ride there. And it's part of, like, you know, getting ready for the season. He's showing up on the Zooms. You can still do your job while you're going through those things as he's doing on the Zoom. I just don't understand the reasoning behind Rashee Rice not being there and just saying, hey, I don't want to be, you know, shown on Instagram or whatever, on social media. Keep me out of those things. If Bobby or Patrick or whoever is posting on IG or Twitter or TikTok, just don't include me in any of those clips because I don't want to be seen. I want to be out of the public eye. I don't want to make it look like while I'm getting sued in a lawsuit for $11 million, I don't want to make it look like I'm just flipping and just, oh, I'm out here just playing football while these people are dealing with the after effects of my stupid decision that I made on that particular day. But to me, it's a little bit of like it took him a week to contact the Chiefs, to talk to the Chiefs about what happened. And it was a week later when he finally got in contact with the Chiefs. Like, you couldn't call your bosses, Brett Veach or Andy Reid, a few days after. Like, you met with the Dallas PD twice before you talked with the Chiefs. And now you're not showing up to the workouts with Patrick Mahomes.
Part of me wonders if he's just embarrassed.
Well, I mean, you know, that's fine.
Like, he made a obviously very stupid mistake. And I do wonder if part of him is just like, you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed that happened. You're embarrassed to tell your boss. You're embarrassed to tell your friends, like, yeah, I was dumb. That was a very silly thing that I did. And I wonder how much of that is just a legit, I don't want to be around these guys right now. I don't want to answer questions right now. Almost, again, we don't know, but thinking, wallowing in your in self-pity of just, I can't believe I did that.
I think if there was a group that would be understanding and would be almost welcoming, it would be those guys in the NFL that are younger age, that have also probably made some or more understanding to dumb decisions that are made, rather than a bunch of, you know, 30, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds in an office setting that are like, bleeping idiot over here, what are you doing? Yeah, hey man, you're just, yeah, I know, I had to just, it was awkward. I had to actually have the conversation with Rushy. He was there, he was asking and talking to me, and I didn't want to just leave the setting. It was, but it was so awkward. Right? It's so awkward that he's here, right? It's so weird. Like, I think that setting would be a little more of the embracing nature and just like, you know what? Come on, let's get our work in. Let's work out, because he's doing the Zooms and everything. I don't know. It's clear that, you know, the decision we know is going to impact the regular season, being suspended because he won't be around the team at all. Can't practice, can't do those things. But now it's impacting even this small portion of that in not being there working out. Is it the worst thing in the world of him not being there? No, because he wasn't there last year. He was working out to get ready to be drafted. But the offseason from your going into your rookie season to your second year is a big one, because you actually have time to train as a football player and get more used to the NFL, as opposed to you're training for a track event and you're training to get drafted as opposed to playing football.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's,
I don't know.
It's a very good point. Again, you're right, because a lot of these guys, they train specifically for the combine.
Mm-hmm.
They train just for specific drills that they also understand they're not going to be doing in game action, but they still have to get ready, because they all know if I run a 4.38, that's a huge difference in a lot of scout size in a 4.42.
Mm-hmm. That second number starts with 3 instead of 4. It's a big deal. If it starts with 2 instead of 3, it's a big deal.
If a guy runs a 4.39, you say he ran a 4.3. If a guy ran a 4.40, it's a 4.4.
No, 4.39 is a sub 4.4. That guy ran a sub 4.4. That guy ran faster than 4.4. By what? A hundredth of a second? But, you know, it's faster. 4.4, guy ran a 4.4.
Surprisingly, don't say Xavier Worthy ran a sub 4.4. So surprisingly, he doesn't fall in the same category.
No, when you get that low, you get your specific time. What'd that guy run? Like a 4.22? No, he ran a 4.21. You know that he did. Don't act like you're ignorant on this. Not ignorant. Les Norman. He joins us next.